Well, we've got open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. But first, astronauts on the Space Shuttle Endeavour will take another look at their spacecraft's heat shield this weekend to inspect a damaged tile on the orbiter's vital heat shield. Science advisor, head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, how serious is this?
You know, first of all, you're having too much fun with the end of the world. You're loving this.
I'm just reporting on the story,
Richard. Of course. Well, let me tell you, it's not the end of the shuttle. This is something so usual, so typical. The last time this happened was on STS-118, which was a couple years ago. And what we have is a ding on the bottom, on the belly of the orbiter, on those tiles, one of those tiles we talked about a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this was caught or noticed in what they call the rendezvous pitch maneuver. When the shuttle comes up and rendezvous with the space station, the astronauts inside the space station are poised at the windows, and they have very long focus cameras, and the shuttle does a pirouette. It does basically a backflip, very low, very slow, and they photograph the heck out of the bottom of the shuttle as this thing rotates around in the right sun angle. And then all that photography is digitally downlinked to Houston, and analysts spend, you know, like 12 hours, 14 hours, something like that, looking through all the pictures. Well, they found seven areas on the bottom of the shuttle that were questionable. That they, you know, you basically have this black coating, which is a carbon coating that reflects or actually radiates black body heat as during reentry.
Mm-hmm.
And there were little white spots on the tiles, which indicates that the coating has come off, and you're actually looking at the under garment, the underbelly of the tile. And the area now they're looking at is one last thing. They've cleared all the others except two. They think they'll clear in an hour or two the second to last one. The last one is about, as Tom said when you picked up the phone, it's about the size of a deck of playing cards, and it's about maybe 0.7 inch deep, and it's kind of on an edge between two tiles, and it might be looking down to the actual aluminum substructure of the orbiter itself. So they're going to do what's called a focused inspection, which means they undelimber the boom system that, remember, they've been carrying up now ever since STS-114.
Sure.
And they basically have cameras, digital cameras, very high res in that boom. And they also have a laser scanner, so they're able to get three-dimensional pinging data. They actually can produce a 3D CAD-CAM model looking at this thing from a couple, three different angles. And they're going to do that in a couple hours now. And it takes them about 3 hours to do what they call a focused inspection. And because this is so similar in size and placement to the kind of ding they had on 118, they really don't think there's a problem. However, given that it's the 21st and given you're having so much fun, if they felt they had a problem, they've got like a week or week and a half remaining to send a crew out and actually put the spackle on the tile. They carry a compound, which has been tested now ever since STS-114.
Okay.
And they can use basically a putty knife, and they can smear this spackle into this depression, this ding.
Cover it up.
And it will freeze, or actually cure. It's like an epoxy, and it'll be good as new. So this is not a problem. To me, the much more interesting thing, George, about this mission is on the day the world is supposed to end, according to Harold Camping, the Pope, in a few hours, about, let's see, 4 hours, is calling the space station and the shuttle for the first time ever. The Pope is making a call to outer space, and it is going to be, and this is what's really cool, exactly at 11:11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 1:11 Rome Time, and if you've been following my numbers all these years, I sound like, well, you know, Glynis.
Yeah.
This is incredibly hyperdimensional. The Pope could not call the station at a more hyperdimensional time because 11:11 translates through the code we've talked about over the years to 19.5.
I love it.
And I find that really much more interesting than this trivial tile damage.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the update. Richard C. Hoagland, Enterprise Mission. coasttocoastam.com. Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. Let us go right to the phones. We'll go to Orlando, Florida, first of all, where JJ is waiting for us east of the Rockies. Hey, JJ, good morning.
Hello, it's JG.
It's JJ now.
No, JG. Okay.
You know, I'm not going to blame anybody.
I'm hoping you can give me an idea where to get some help with two terrible problems.
Well, let's see what we can do.
And the first one is that a few years ago, we had to evacuate because of hurricanes, and I took a lot of important things with me. And when we came back, I put some important papers somewhere that I thought would be safe, and I can't find them.
Oh.
Would a remote viewer or a psychic possibly be able to locate them?
Possibly. Doubtful, but possibly. I think in cases like that, they really need a psychic, for example, I think would need way more than that to go on. I don't think they can find papers. It might be like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a remote viewer, that's going to be pretty darn tough, too. Now, do you think they're just lost, or do you think they're somewhere?
They're somewhere in our home.
God, you got to tear that place apart.
I have.
Attic?
No, there's no attic or basement.
No basements.
What I'm thinking is if someone could say if I was facing what direction, like if I was facing north, south, east, or west, which...
When was the last time you saw these documents, JJ?
Several years ago.
Okay, a couple of years ago, and where were they last put? Do you remember that?
That I don't know. I said, well, I had them with us when we left for hurricanes.
And are they replaceable? Can you get them duplicated somewhere?
Well, I could, but I'd much rather find the
originals.
Yeah, if possible. It would save a lot of money and trouble and everything.
Sometimes they're right under your nose and you don't know it.
Mm.
I would go room by room, take every room apart. I would look under bed mattresses. I would look everywhere, every conceivable place, and see what you can come up with.
Well, I know a lot of places they definitely are not, and I also know places that I have looked.
My guess, let me do a quick remote viewing for you. I'm pretty good at this. And I'm talking to you, so I have a little more information than most remote viewers would be. Uh-huh. I see them stuck between other papers somewhere.
Okay.
Cardboard box, do you have them anywhere in the house? Big ones?
Yes.
They may be in there stuck between other papers. So it would look like if you were looking at these papers, you might be looking at a home mortgage, but whatever you want may be inside of those papers. See what I mean?
Well, they should have been in something like a large, heavy envelope, not just... out by themselves.
Okay, but they're inside of whatever is covering them up.
Okay. Well, I have to look again, but if you don't know anyone, you know, you've had so many psychics and viewers on the program, I thought possibly you might refer me to someone.
Well, you just got one from me, so give it a shot.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. And the other thing, this is kind of vague, but we are desperate to get out of the area where we live, and we cannot figure out where to go. We took one trip to explore and didn't turn up anything, and we can't take trip after trip after trip. I figure maybe one more trip to explore, and then a few months later, we'll make the move. And where in the how can we figure out where to go?
And you're talking about where to go to move?
Yes.
Well, do you have that kind of luxury, that freedom?
Well, yes, we're ready to move. I mean, we totally hate and despise the area where we live.
Well, is he retired?
About to be.
Oh, okay. So that'll give you the flexibility.
Right.
What do you like? Temperature? What are your likes?
Moderate climate, and I cannot drive. I want a place that has either transportation or a place that I can walk around. Medium size, not a huge city, not a tiny big town, something that has some interesting things to do.
You'd love St. Louis.
That's one of my spots. Too far and too cold. We're thinking Georgia or the Carolinas.
It does get cold.
But again, you know, a psychic might be able to come up with something. I've talked to a couple psychics in the past, and Unfortunately, what they told me was so vague.
You need the numbers, lady. You have a computer, right?
Well, I don't do computer things. My husband does.
Okay, let him do it. Go to numberslady.com. Numberslady.com, and she'll help you. That's what you need in terms of location. Next up, let's go to Hollywood, California. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, George, how are you?
Okay. Hope you are, too.
Yes. There's very crazy stuff going on here about these people going to heaven, that rapture. And my God, it's a, you know, I have a book for them that I'm writing. It's called The Book of Morons.
Well, don't call them morons, John. They're believers. They just believe too much.
Yeah, but I mean, for them to die for this, you know, I mean, the first chapter in the book is going to be called Dumb All Over.
Well, or how about the those dumb books, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, let me ask you a question, George. How did this date, 5/21/11, how did it come up? I mean, where does it say that in the Bible, or is it?
No, it's not in the Bible. This guy, Harold Camping, says that he was able to decipher it out of the Bible, and he came up with it with his own little formulas. You know, he tried this in 1994. He was wrong. So he's got these numbers again, and he's got this. Look, I don't know if he truly believes this or not. I don't know the guy. I've tried to get an interview with him. You know, we haven't been able to. He's got his own radio programs going on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my concern is I just don't want these people to be so let down that any of them do anything stupid sometime this morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's something. I mean, you were telling that guy earlier, said, look, come back Monday. You know, and
he won't come back. He thinks he's going to be gone.
Oh, come on now. You know, that's nuts, man.
John, have you ever believed in something so much that nobody could tell you otherwise? Ever?
Well, you got a good point, but not to die like that.
Well, it's not that they're going to die. They think that their souls, you know, they're going to be taken away. Initially, physically, because they're going to disappear. Poof, they're gone.
Well, George, what was that sect that did that a few years ago?
That was the Heaven's Gate people.
Heaven's Gate,
but they
yeah.
killed themselves.
Yeah, they took the cyanide. So these people, how are they going to die?
Well, they're not going to die. They're not planning to take them that way. The rapture, they believe, they will merely disappear. I mean, you'll be talking to me. Let's say you get taken, and I'll go, "Hey, John, how you been?" Dead air. You're gone. Just poof.
Vanish. Yeah, just vanish like that.
Just vanish. Yeah. I mean, this is not going to be one of those mass suicide things.
Okay.
I mean, and that's important. John, thanks for the call. Mary is in Littleton, Colorado, and you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay.
It's been a long time since I spoke to you.
Let's see. It's been 2 years, 3 months, and 16 days.
Are you serious? Ghost to ghost? It might have been
that amount of days. Yeah.
You did talk to me. Do you remember Bloody Bones?
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, and the lady in white would come down the stairs and protect my sisters.
It's a great story.
Seeing him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, around that time, it was around 1958, we went up towards the mountains for a picnic. Our family always did that. And my father was taking care of the grill. My mother was setting the table. And do you remember those plastic tablecloths that they used to
use? Yeah, we used to have some of those.
Plastic dishes and that.
Yep.
Anyway, my two older sisters had crossed the creek and gone up the hill, and my sister and I wanted to follow them, and I was, four or three, and we were in the middle of the creek, both on rocks, and I started to slip, and she saw that I was going to slip, and she grabbed my hand, and we both fell into the water, and the first thing I realized, we were going so fast, and it was so dark that it was faster than on my tricycle at the top of the hill. We used to ride our trikes down the middle of the stream.
You must have been screaming.
We didn't scream, but you couldn't have your feet on the pedals. You had to have them out to the side. And there was always the mother who found the kids in the middle of the street wrecked. But anyway, that's how fast we were going down down the stream, and I was terrified.
Did you know how to swim?
No.
Oh, my God, you're lucky you didn't drown on us.
Right. Whoa. So my sister still held on to my hand, and suddenly I heard a woman's voice say, there now. Oh, don't worry, there is light. Look above. And I looked up, and I could see that the sun was still shining, and I started to look around, and I saw that the mountain was actually down below the water also to my right. And I started to not really mind at all that I was sailing down this dark water. And then suddenly I was up above the creek, and I saw a woman in a plaid shirt and jeans, and she plucked my sister and I out of the creek by our shirt collars.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had a lot of trauma in my life, and I had hypnosis for 4 years, and this was the first tragedy we really looked at that I remembered really well. And I could not remember what happened between the time she picked us up out of the creek and then over by our picnic table, where we were in big trouble and getting all our wet clothes taken off of us and being yelled at and packing up the picnic. And my father pulled out his belt, and I got a whipping.
He hit you for
ruining
the
picnic.
Oh, no. See, why do parents do that? They get angry and hit the kid when it was truly an accident. A mistake.
Right, and that they should be grateful that we were still alive.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you something. Do you remember anything at this point about this woman who plucked you out of the water?
I never saw her again.
So you don't know if she was real or an angel? You don't know, do you?
I don't.
That is a remarkable story. Thanks. Let's go to London, Ontario, in Canada. Yvonne is on the international line. Hey, you've got Victoria Day coming up on Monday, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Well, happy holiday for that.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying it so far.
This is your three-dayer, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Anyways, the first thing I wanted to say, it's the first time I've ever called, and I've been listening. The first time I listened was during the blackout when you had Al Bielek.
Good old Al. He's still hanging around, too.
Yes, and that was interesting because it was very hot. I couldn't sleep, so I was flicking around on the radio stations, and that's the first time I ever listened to the show.
Well, that's good. That was a long time ago. You had
Art then. Yeah, it was, and I listen every night. So anyways, I just wanted to tell you, we were joking around today, and we decided to order our last meal.
The last supper.
And we ordered Chinese food. And anyways, I got a fortune cookie, and my friend got one. She had nothing in hers. And mine said, tomorrow will be too late to enjoy what you can today.
You don't want to see one of those things.
Well, it was really, we laughed about it, obviously, but it was pretty strange.
I think so, too. Yvonne, thanks for the call. Again, enjoy your Victoria Day. That is on Monday. It is a holiday for our Canadian neighbors. And they will take that day off. It's in honor of Queen Victoria, of course, the very late Queen Victoria. Open lines continue in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. Plus, if you have a text question, Thomas will be able to relay that to me as well. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment. Our website, coasttocoastam.com. And if you would like to become a Coast Insider for less than 25 cents a day, that's a quarter. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. Little program note for you. On Memorial Day Monday, that's May 30th, we will have a live program for you. It'll be a secret door show. I have no idea who the guests are, but the first hour, Doug Dietrich will be our special guest. We're going to be talking about the sinking of the USS Indianapolis during World War II. And, of course, take a little time, even though you're with friends and family on that day off, to remember our fallen soldiers, if you would. But we'll have a program for you, a live program for you on Memorial Day night, that Monday. I'll be back in a moment. More of your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast this Friday into Saturday morning. Rapture Day on Saturday. Not to worry, as I've told so many people. I'm getting calls from friends all around the country. They are loading up my voicemail on my cell phone. And I've told them all not to worry.
But you know what? There's a group of folks out there that are on the fence. I got to be very honest with you. They're sitting back. They're waiting for this massive earthquake or something that could occur. Hey, tomorrow's going to be an interesting day. All right, let's go to our Skype line. Lincoln is in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Lincoln.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you are.
Awesome.
Good.
Can't wait to see all the followers of this guy camping and their reactions tomorrow when 6 o'clock rolls around and nothing happens.
I think they're going to be numb. I really do.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of tears and maybe some rage. I don't know.
Yeah, you may be right.
So, you know, I called just to kind of, because nobody's really said it. I mean, Lionel kind of touched on it with the, you know, John and Revelation and talking about Nero. But basically, the whole concept of the rapture was invented in the late 19th century. I think the first, as far as my research has gone anyway, the first instance of it was in like 1867 with the paper called The Rapture of the Saints. Anyway, it's basically a concept that was rejected by all the mainstream Christian churches.
Why was it created? To control people?
I think it was something to kind of give a shock value to at the time a small sect of Christianity, which we know now as fundamentalist evangelicalism.
Right.
You know, and I think it was created for that. But I mean, the whole notion of people are going to vanish into thin air and all that, I mean, it's nowhere in the Bible. I mean, the closest you can get is if you take the letters of Paul, the letter to the Thessalonians of Paul, out of context, you can get, you know, yeah, Jesus comes back and he catches up his followers, but it's not talking about, if you actually read the context of 1 Thessalonians, it's Paul telling the church of Thessalonians, hey, you know, you guys are doing a great job, you're following the doctrine, you're following the teachings of Jesus, and when the time of the end comes, you will join Jesus and God.
But no one will know when that will be.
Well, right. No, there's no time frame established. I mean, even, you know, I've looked at Camping's websites, I've looked at his YouTube videos and all that stuff that popped up. But, you know, the stuff that his timeline that he's established is basically taking the story of Noah, and it's just the story of Noah. It's not saying anything in the future. It's talking about the flood, the 40 days and 40 nights, and 7,000 years, yada, yada, yada. It's not really saying this is going to happen in the future after the flood. It's talking about the flood.
Do you think this guy Camping actually believes this rapture story?
Oh, sure. I mean, if you tell a lie long enough, you end up believing it yourself, you know.
Well, yeah, and he started it in 1994. Thanks, Lincoln. Appreciate it. Tom's got a text for us. Back in his studio. What do you got for me, Tommy?
Hey, George, before I give it to you, can you give me some quick clarification? Is it 6 p.m. we go or by 6 p.m. tomorrow?
Well, you know, a guy, the spokesperson for the family radio, I said it was 5 p.m., I think. But I have read 6 o'clock. I don't know what time zone, though.
Okay, I just want to know how much time I have.
I don't think you have to worry
about. Walter in Chicago, I have a text from him. He says, George, if it were true the end of the world is here, what's the last thing you would do? And, of course, that's besides host Coast to Coast.
Oh, I, of course. Look, if I believed that Saturday was it, I would be with my friends and family. I mean, no question about it. I've also said on the air that if I believed we were getting hit by an asteroid, and they told everybody to flee, to take off, you have to go, I would stay on the air until that very last moment. I would. Probably out of the cave in St. Louis so I could be close to my family. But that's what I would do, pure and simple. But, I mean, if honestly, if I truly believe this was it, I'd want to be with the people I care about, wouldn't you?
That's the only answer you really can do. So would I, and I'd do one other thing when I'm with them.
I'd go to a Dodger game. That's what I want to do.
I'd have what I can't normally have, a chocolate shake, and I'd just wait for it to happen with the people I love.
Yeah, that's it. And see, the problem is, though, I mean, like, would you empty out your bank account, spend it all, have the world's greatest time?
No, not really, because the money's not going to mean anything, you know.
Well, well, that's what I'm saying, though. Spend it all. Have a great time.
What am I going to spend it on?
Yeah, whatever you liked.
There's no time. We're going tomorrow.
But the bottom line here is, let's say you do spend it all, right?
Okay.
Go into your bank account. You take everything. By the way, you dropped a bank statement yesterday, and I saw.
There's not much to take.
I know. There's not much to take, so don't worry.
So you give some, you know, to help somebody.
Yeah, you give it away. It's all gone. Mm-hmm. And you're not taken. So now you're on this planet. You're broke. And you got to start all over.
You're working forever.
Yep. All right, I'll get another text from you next hour.
Thanks, George.
All right, next up we go to Culver City, California, west of the Rockies, Jeffrey's turn. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, George, how you doing,
okay, man? Okay, good.
Hey, just a comment on this disappointing rapture. It seems to me, George, that a lot of people, man, were disappointed and that it didn't happen. You know, I believe that it's because people are just tired, George. You know, they're tired of the wars, the terrorists, the lies.
They're beaten down. Now, it's not over yet. We're not into it yet.
Well, so. You're right. You're right about that. But, you know, since the earthquakes, at least the earthquakes, didn't happen, you know, the worldwide earthquake.
Not yet. That's right.
Yeah, it didn't happen yet, you know, and we in California, it's supposed to happen our time, 11 o'clock. It didn't happen, man. I'm looking at it like this. They're just, you know, people are just tired. You know, they're not necessarily looking forward toward an afterlife in heaven or hell. You know, they're just sick and tired, George. But, you know, I was thinking this, George. Do you think Mr. Campin's money would have been well spent if he would have been helping the people down there in Mississippi and Louisiana and even Japan or Haiti? Because it seemed to me it's just a waste of money, you know, him wasting people's time on foolish predictions and billboards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think that his money would have been well spent helping all the people in the floods down there?
To me, that would have been what you do when you have a spiritual type radio show.
Exactly, and that's what God would want him to do, not wasting money on billboards. And I know, you know, you guys would welcome the ad revenue, but it's a waste of money.
Well, you know what, actually, let me tell you something, what happened, Jeff. They wanted to buy national radio time on my radio show.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I turned it down.
You turned it down.
My people came to me and they said, George, this is your decision. It's your show. What do you want? And, you know, they kind of look at you like, well, you're going to say yes, huh? And I said, no, that's hypocritical of me
right.
to tell everybody I don't believe this rapture is going to occur
and then take their money. Take the money, right. It wouldn't be right.
I'm not going to do that.
Right,
so what I did. Is I ran their commercial on the air for free because I wanted to give them a chance to air their voice.
Right.
I didn't want to muffle them. That's not what this program's all about.
Right.
So I ran the commercial earlier this week for free and gave everybody an opportunity to hear their message, and I feel like I did what I had to do.
You did great, man. You're a great man. Thanks a lot, George.
Okay, let's go next to Houston, Texas, one of my favorite spots, though we do get very, very humid, Jason, in the summer, don't you?
Yes, we do. It gets really hot out here.
Yeah.
As I told your screener, my father, the pastor at an evangelical church, here in the area.
Right, he didn't tell me that. See, I don't know what you're going to say. All I know is your name and where you are. That's it. That's my deal with Tom.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. I'm sorry. It's the first time I've listened to your show. My friend told me about it.
Well,
I'm
glad you found us. Thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's been really interesting listening to all the callers, but I just wanted to say, you know, my father has been getting a lot of questions, of course, recently about, you know, people in his church and like, should we take anything this guy says seriously? And you know, while his opinion is that, you know, this guy's bogus, no one knows when, you know,
the time
no one
of day.
No one knows the time of day except for the father. That, you know, he's been seeing a lot of things happen lately, a lot of huge events, you know, like the recent earthquakes in Haiti and things that, you know,
right.
He looks, he's like, is this God, you know, telling us to wake up, you know? Is this God telling us to, you know, is this God telling us that the end times might be occurring? And while he says that no one can predict the exact date, that perhaps we can see that from all these events that are happening, a bigger picture of maybe the end times are coming in this era. If we can't know a single date, maybe we can know the general time.
See, if Campion had said, Jason, if he had said, I believe we're in end times right now, I think the events are unfolding. They're here. and rattle off some of the things you've just rattled off. If he said all that and left out the part about being taken, the vanishing of the people, I would probably believe him. You know, I would say, you know what, you might be right, because I'm seeing things change. People are feeling very strange. They're just, everybody's off a little bit. But the taking part of it, that's what throws me. And I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I would bet the ranch that it's not going to happen. And that taints everything in his message. And that's unfortunate.
Well, the thing about camping coming out and this being as nationwide as it has been has really bothered my father. For one main reason is that in the Book of Revelation, it's often talked about, you know, that false prophets will come about in the end times.
True.
And he sees this guy as an example of a false prophet. I haven't heard this point really brought up.
That's a good point. No, he was in 1994 when he said exactly what he said now, that, you know, we were in the rapture, end times.
Yeah.
He said this, nothing happened. Then he said, well, I made some mathematical mistakes, and here we are again. I want to know what he's going to say when this doesn't happen come Monday, let's say. I mean, I want to know what his excuse is. Is he going to say again, oh, I made a little mathematical error? It's a year and a half from now.
Probably.
You know, and I just hope all these people who are believing him along the line don't go and fall for it again.
Mm-hmm. I know. I really hope it is, because in the end, you know, they're just following the wrong thing. And I want to make just one more point before I go.
Sure.
Another thing that's been bothering my father that he sees as possibly a sign of the end times is that, you know, more and more people are losing their religion or don't consider themselves Christian. Atheism is rising throughout the world, and he feels that, you know, if God is going to, you know, start the end times, he feels that, you know, he'd want more Christians to be around. And so he feels, you know, maybe it's even closer. And another thing that he sees in these people, you know, that are turning away from God is, you know, they don't put their ketchup in the fridge. Why don't they put their ketchup in the fridge?
I do.
You put your ketchup in the fridge?
I do.
Well, you know, that is good. I think that is a sign that you are true, that you will be saved when Jesus Christ comes.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but all I know is it keeps my ketchup lasting a little longer.
Exactly.
All right, kid.
Let's go spoil.
See you later.
I don't know.
Be well.
People are crazy.
Okay.
You too.
A new listener. And we've got him. Let's go to Virginia Beach. Aaron, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Wow. This is crazy. I feel like I've been chosen. I've been saved. This is pretty cool.
Just don't vanish on us, okay?
I know. That's what I've been worried about, that my phone's going to cut out. This smartphone is kind of stupid sometimes, and I feel like I have bad reception just around me all the time. So,
What happens to people who are in their cars driving and they get taken?
I am a passenger in a car driving.
Oh, you're up the creek. What are you going to do? Yeah. You're going to have to slide over there and take over the car.
No, I don't like being a passenger, but I had to go because we're trying to get some work done, and we had to go back to our work location. So it was a risk, but it seems to be working so far.
Well, let's hope that the driver doesn't get taken.
If I cut out, will you call me back?
Well, I don't have your number.
Well, you don't have caller ID?
Well, maybe I do, but I don't have it in my studio.
All right. Well, I can give you my number, but I'm afraid I get a lot of calls.
Oh, you'd get many calls. You'd probably get the marriage proposals and everything else. You don't need
that. All right. Well, I could, but I mean, and that would be okay, because what I was calling about, there are a few things, and now that I'm here, I'm kind of like frozen up, but it's amazing that I was talking to, I think Scotty, you said, the screener.
Uh-huh. Well, that's Tom. Tom's the screener.
Tom?
Tom.
How did I miss that? That's my brother's name. Okay, well, he thought it was really funny that I hadn't heard about this. I listened to the news, I listened to NPR, and the other day it was mentioned on NPR, and I thought it was a joke or something, and my boyfriend was in the car, said he heard the whole thing on it, and I don't know how I missed it.
Well, let me tell you how this started. We picked up on this over a month ago, and we've been doing some programs on it, little segments. Finally, some of the mainstream media folks picked up on this a couple weeks ago, and they started running with this, and then some major websites picked up on it. My buddy Matt Drudge picked up on it before any of the other major sites have done anything. And now once these things go mainstream, then the world gets it. But, you know, we were talking about this a long time ago, and they picked up on it from us finally. I've been on radio stations for the last week being interviewed, not my own shows, but being interviewed on other radio stations because, you know, we're the ones that fell into this thing.
Well, but see, that's the thing. In a way, it's kind of sickening. The only reason I listen to your show when I like Google something and it has a link to a show that mentions something on your show. But I also listen to it when I'm in my mom's car, and I happen to be in my mom's car tonight because we're borrowing it to get some work done. So it was on. And so this was like the first time I've heard of it. And in a way, it's sickening to know that you are promoting something that you don't believe in.
Hold on.
I put that the wrong way, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not promoting something I don't believe in. I'm taking a stand on something I don't believe in.
You're taking a stand, but look at all of the generation of thought and compassion or passion, passionate people who are calling in passionate one way or another. It doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. The fact that you are believing or disbelieving means that you are a part of this thing that it gives you a choice of what.
Well, wait a minute now. Look, I was opposed to the Iraq war. I didn't believe that there were weapons of mass destruction. The mere fact that I would broadcast that and say that, does that make me part of the war machine?
But that's the way God acts. That's what God does. This guy that came up with this date, that promoted this date for whatever reason he promoted it, that was an act of God. He probably thought he was doing it for his own reasons, but really, things like this happening where it prompts people to question their time, their impact on each other, on the earth, on
well, I think
on
that's
time
that's
itself,
that's healthy.
It is very healthy. But my whole life. I don't know why. From my first memory when I was three.
Well, Aaron, let me tell you this because I'm coming up to my break right now. Don't ever confuse trying to get to the truth as a reason to be muffled or not to tell the story. Because once you start doing that, you're going down the wrong slope. I will always broadcast stories that I believe in. Stories that I don't, and I'll tell people why. I'll be back with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.